God is always a step ahead of us. We think we're kind of like stepping up with him, but he's always a step ahead of us. The problem is sometimes we get our own way and we mess up that whole path. But he's really out working that path for us. In simple things, in normal things in our life, you know, there are those moments when the Spirit just speaks in a profound way. And then there's times that we just go with what he's telling us to do. We're celebrating Memorial Day this weekend. And there's a scripture that I always talk about, and it's Ebenezer in 1 Samuel. It's not Ebenezer Scrooge. So Memorial Day, of course, we talk about those who've gone before us. That's really what it's about. Most of us think it's about the beach, but it really is about memorializing those who have died for us. And of course, Jesus is that memorial. But there is a story in 1 Samuel 7, 3 through 6. And what was happening was there was a battle going on in the Old Testament between the Israelites and the Philistines. Have you heard of Philistines before? It's always a symbol of the giants. Remember, Goliath was a Philistine. So whenever you read about Philistines in the Bible, it's that race that was bigger than everybody else. They were the bullies of everyone. So poor Israel was always being beat up over and over again. Of course, because they were God's chosen people. So they were always in warfare. They were always being beat up. And there was a battle going on. Now, they had turned their back on God and started doing things in their own strength. Now, how much does that happen to us? You know, God tells us to do something, and then we have to figure out in our strength how to get it done. Logic. That song you started off with, "All Our Fountains Are in You," I don't think I've ever said this before, but when we came into this building, we had left another building, and there was about 40 of us. So we leave that building, and we come into this place, and let me tell you, you think it might not be beautiful now? It was so bad when we got here. There was fiberglass all over the walls. There was tile. This gray tile was, the whole building was this gray tile. You know that building, don't you? This whole building was this tile. There was a big crack down the middle. It's still here. We just covered it up with carpet on that tile. And we walked in here, and we were like, okay, this is a big step for us financially because we had left a smaller building, but we couldn't grow anymore, so we needed another place. And so we'd come in here, and we were so excited, and we started painting the walls. I mean, I got pictures of Tracy and Deb and different people painting the doors and the walls and all of that, and that song we kept playing over and over, "Open the Heavens, Come Living Water." It was new. It had just come out. We were going to a worship conference, I think it was, the Lyft conference, and we were playing it over. And some of us grabbed hands, and we started just dancing, like a dance hall in this place. And we kept saying, "God, bring them in, bring them in, bring them in." And I look around, and so many people have come. But it took us some time, and it took us to have to change some things. So in your battle, it can't be our plans. It has to be his plans. It can't be the way it was. A lot of times people say, "Well, in my old church, we did things this way." I hear that a lot. Well, you know what? There were 100 people that come to this church, and everybody has an old church. And every 100 of those churches did something differently. So if we did everything the way your old church did it, we would all be crazy. So we have to really throw out in that old mindset and say, "God, what is the new vision for us?" Because the Bible says, without a vision, the people perish. So we have to have the vision that God wants for us. It may be different than what we think. When we started this church, it was very much going to be LGBT. We made that decision. God is changing the vision somewhat to really be a church inclusive of everyone, where regardless of your sexual orientation, you're able to serve. There are other churches that might welcome you in their body, but you can't do anything. Well, what good is that? Oh, you welcome me, great, but you're kind of like it was when we had segregation. You were in the back of the bus, the rest of them in the front. That's as awful as that is now. I mean, it's crazy to think that in our day-to-day, we are not welcome in God's house, or we're welcome, but we can't serve. In this church, there's neither male nor female, gay nor straight, junior Greek, Hispanic or gringo. We're all one. exciting things are taking place. There's some things that are taking place, and people are stepping up to do certain things, and we're excited about that. There's a transgender ministry that's forming. Michael and Patty both are going to help lead this ministry in its time. And it's interesting because he gives us those things at the beginning, and he changes them a lot of times when it's his timing, because I think we would be scared to do it that way if we knew from the beginning. Sometimes it's structure. We have things in our mind. It's like, okay, I'm comfortable with this. But then when it's time to actually do it, God's like, yeah, this is really what I'm seeing. And I think that's happening. The timing is right. And 7 is a very good number to be. So I like that. So they had this battle. And I'm going to go really quickly through this because I wanted to get to the big part. They had Samuel, who was a God leader. And it was God's plan, not plan B. You see, we can't have a plan A and a backup plan. No. It's going to be God's plan or no plan. Who wants a plan B? You know, it's not like we get awards for participation anymore. I want the plan A. And then what they did was they raised a monument called Ebenezer. So they built a monument out of stones, and they raised that monument in the scripture. And the scripture says they raised it there so that when they looked back, they could see where God had brought them from. That's the Ebenezers. And I know many of you have Ebenezers in your life where there is a time you look back and say, I remember this one time in my life that I don't care what happens, God came in an unreal way. Yes. And no one can deny that. Yes. Yes. I remember working in an orphanage in Ciudad Victoria, Mexico, many years ago, and they had a freeze that came in, never ever froze in that area. Hardly ever, because it's so far south. And a freeze came in, and we grew our own oranges and own, you know, food. And a freeze came in. And Sister Ali Lovett, she was the one who God said, go down there. She was secretary. Go down there to Mexico. I have something for you. She didn't know what it was. She left Exxon in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. She left Exxon, went down to Mexico. And she goes, God, I don't know what you have for me. And this was 30 years ago. And all of a sudden, someone laid the baby on her doorstep. She's like, okay, and she tried to find the parents, and so she took the baby in. She went to the authorities. They're like, we can't take care of it. You want the baby? So she started taking care of the baby, and a few weeks later, somebody laid another baby on her doorstep. Oh my God. Well, long story short is, there was an orphanage of over 60 kids when I was down there, and a school and a little clinic. So they were growing their own food. One lady, listening to God, not plan B, plan A, and went down there. And that one lady, and so when it was happening, they're like, what are we going to do? Should we go and cover everything? And there was no way you could cover all these trees. She goes, no. What we're going to do is we're going to join hands, and we're going to circle around. I thought about it today when you were singing that song. A hedge of protection around our farm and around our orphanage. So they, in Jesus' name, all the kids joined hands, and they were just declaring that every other orchard in that city froze except for hers. Now, that was an Ebenezer for me. You see, I talked about this Wednesday night. Here we have insurance. There they have assurance. We trust in our own things. Well, I have a backup plan. If God doesn't come through, I've got my credit card. They have no backup plan. They had to trust him, and he came through. So what I wanted to really do today before we go and have our dinner and eat was talk about Ebenezers. And talk about some in your life. And I'm going to ask a couple of you to share. One is this man that you don't hear very much from on the front row.
My favorite story about what God has done. I like this story because there's no other way to explain it. Sometimes when God does something in your life, you know, you can explain it, well, it could have happened for some other natural reason. But this one, there's no other explanation for it. This was a couple of years ago. I had to go to Target to get something. I needed something. Keith asked me to get something that he needed for a project of his, and he asked for some tape. Now, in my mind, I was thinking Scotch tape or something like that. So I go to Target, and I get all involved in what I was there to get and totally forgot what he wanted. So I'm wandering around the store thinking, Lord, what was it he wanted? I cannot remember for the life of me what it was he wanted. And finally, I gave up and went around and got some other things I needed. And I'm here way over in another area where the hand soap is, and I have a shopping cart, and I thought of something I needed right around the corner on the next row. So I stopped my cart, ran right around the corner real quick, grabbed it, came right back, And I'll even cry because I felt God's touch then. But sitting in my cart was a roll of masking tape. And I looked around. I mean, my mouth hit the floor because I looked around. There was nobody around. There was not a person in sight. Nobody was there. I didn't remember what it was Keith wanted. I thought he wanted Scotch tape, not this nice packing tape that was sitting in my cart. It was just there. So I thought, well, I guess that's what I'm supposed to get. So I brought it home and gave it to Keith, and he looked at it and he goes, that's exactly what I was needing. I said, let me tell you the story. <Went on.
laughs> I mean, it's little things like that in our life that he does that you can't deny. Does anybody have an Ebenezer story that they want to share? I want it to be more of a congregational thing. There's got to be somebody.
A couple of weeks ago, I was here, and Pastor Deb was talking about if there's something in your life that just can't be fixed, let it go. God has a new camp for you, sort of a thing. And then she talked about people needing jobs. The very next morning, I went to a job interview, got called back in the afternoon for a second interview, got the job. And then I realized, too, that there was no way that she could have known the things that were going on in my life that couldn't be repaired and couldn't be fixed and that I need to let go of. And I had a lot of guilt for that. So I knew it was God.
Amen. That's good.
Okay, so 3.5 years ago, I got sober, clean from drugs and alcohol. And I was being evicted from my apartment. So I had to go get boxes. This is where I knew there had to be someone out there greater than myself. So I went over to the Publix, and they're like, no, we don't have any boxes. And I went over to Kroger's. I didn't know. No, we crush all our boxes. And so I was like, well, you know what? I'm just going to go dumpster dive behind these places. And as soon as I go around to the back, this guy comes out with this huge thing of broken down boxes. So I asked him, I was like, can I have some of these boxes? He goes, load up. And so I did. So I was like, well, I'm just going to go from there and go back to an AA meeting. And I get to an AA meeting. I was telling her about my God moment. And I was like, well, now all I need is tape. She goes, honey, I got some in my truck. I don't know why. It just seemed so small. At the moment, it was like the hugest thing for me, you know. It kind of instilled some faith that, you know, there's something out there greater than myself. And, you know, that's the story that I always tell people, had my first God moment.
That's awesome. Yeah. Man, I love it. Anybody else want to share one?
See, a lot of you don't know me. My name is Marcus. This is boyfriend Brad. I don't even know if I've shared this with Brad. When I attended another church, I was a co-worship leader and I played drums. I want to say it was Father's Day. I remember we had worship and it was like so intense for me that I felt physically weak when I left church. But I'm driving home and I didn't realize how physically tired and weak I was. And I was on 285, and usually when I'm on 285, I'm going pretty fast. I didn't realize it, but I fell asleep on the road. I remember just waking up, and I was just like thinking, like, oh my goodness, somebody's going to hit me. And then I woke up, and all I saw, I looked in my rearview mirror, and there was just a line of cars. They were just like, I want to say like 30 feet behind me. They weren't even near me. And I was able to catch my car before I hit the rail. I got off at the next exit, which was Wesley Chapel, and I went to this QT, and I took a nap. But before I took a nap, I wrote in my journal so I wouldn't forget, because it all felt really like hazy and dreamy. And I woke up and I read what I wrote, and I just broke down and cried. That was one of many moments that God like literally physically saved my life. And I'm like, okay, I'm definitely here for a reason. So I just wanted to share that.
Amen. That's awesome. Anybody else?
Okay, so I've got a ton of God shots, but I'm going to share one that did not look like God at that moment in time. Well, I guess about 5 years ago. I was a raging alcoholic and crackhead. I mean, you just can't describe it any other way. I was 100 pounds. I was homeless. So I was just like, oh, God, there has got to be more than life than this. But see, now in my mind, God was going to show up on a white horse in shining armor. The way he showed up was Fulton County Sheriff's Department, you know. Now, looking back, you know, it's like that joke, I sent you a boat, I sent you a plane, I sent you, you know. I refer to them now as the God Squad, because had they not shown up and put me in jail where I could sit there and just think. You know, I couldn't live. That I love that song. I was breathing, but I wasn't alive. I couldn't live. I couldn't die. And today I'm happy to report that I am clean and sober and happy, joyous, and free. I remind my sponsees and I remind the people in my life, when you cry out to God, He hears you. He absolutely hears you. But boy, oh boy, He doesn't send it the way you think He's gonna.
That's so true.
I'm so thankful for my parents. In life, when we're born, we don't come with instructions. So my father was so proud to have a son, and I wasn't the son that he wanted. But as a little boy, I felt something inside me say, do good. Never went to church, didn't anything know about anything about God. And one day, my parents moved and out in the country, and I saw this sign. It said, revival. I said, Mama, what's that? She said, well, she kind of explained it to me. I said, oh, you got to be saved? She said, yeah. I was like, ooh. She goes, you want to go? I said, yes. She goes, we'll go to my church. I said, you go to church? She's like, yes. I said, why didn't you never tell me? She goes, well, they turned me out when I married your dad. I said, what? It was my second marriage, and the church excused me from the church. And I was like, well, Mama, why do you want to go back to that church? That she goes, I didn't do nothing wrong. So I'm thankful for God as a little child to guide me, even when I didn't know He was there. But now that I look back at it, and I'm thankful for where I'm at now, because all that abuse and torment as a child now has gave me strength. Meeting Him made me come out of the closet and tell everybody so people can see me for who I really am and not pretending to be somebody else.
Man, I love it. Anybody else? It's good to hear this.
Sometimes our Ebenezer moment is not about ourselves. About a week ago, I went out to eat at the whole time I ended up talking to the manager about her own life, some things that she was dealing with, and I went to pay my ticket. The manager had already paid it for you. And on my way, I was at a red light, and I saw a guy who looked like he was working hard. He didn't look homeless or anything like that, but he didn't look like he had a heart there. And I'm like, hey, what you up to? And he's like, well, I'm just trying to get some food for the night. And I said, you know, don't have any cash. But if you really want food, I will get you some food. We will stop at the restaurant and I will get you some food. And he shot me with what he said. He said, I will take you up on that, but I don't want food from one of the restaurants. I'd rather go to Kroger where I can get enough for tomorrow. And we walked all the way up, but he got a ton of chicken and rose and drink and Sprite, and we got all that food and we took it up, and it was maybe $20. Maybe. And it was like, God, well, I sent that $20 that you didn't spend at Joe's. Yeah. I was saving it for that moment.
That's awesome. Amen. That's awesome. Amen. Anybody else?
So, I remember being like 8, maybe 9 years old. We were, my whole family moved from California in a little van that had the wood grain on the side, and it was just chugging along and somehow made the whole trip. I remember us staying in an apartment with 2 other families and having to sleep on the floor. And I remember crying and thinking, like, this is miserable. Why would we choose this type of life? A really big God moment for me, and I think it is also for my mom. We were driving. My mom was trying to go for an interview. My dad was working, and so she had to bring me. And she was like, oh, God, please. And I remember her driving. The car was overheating. And she was like, I'm not going to get a job. And I just remember her crying, but still like, come on, God. I know this is where we're supposed to be. So the car overheated. We stopped on the side of the road, and I remember my mom holding my hand. She was like, all right, Nadine, all you have to do is pray. And I'm like, and I was thinking, like, how is this going to help anything? As a kid, I'm like, I don't think this is going to help. It's been so miserable. It's not like he's here now. And I remember praying. And then after we got done praying, I looked up, and there was this car with these 2 men, jugs of water, coming to help us. No way did they know what we needed. And no way did we flag anybody down. This was after we prayed. We got out the car, and I was like, Mom, there's a car behind us, and there's these 2 men with water. And I remember my mom looking back, and she's like, I told you, God always, he's always there. Yeah. I feel like she may have forgotten about this story, but it was a pivotal moment where I was realizing, like, wow, God is real, you know? And it just changed everything.
He is real. Amen. Anybody else?
One of the things I've been going through in the last 6 months, I would go to bed at night on Saturday night, and I'd be awake all night long. And I'd be thinking, I got to get up. I want to go to church. I really need to go to church. And something would just come over me, and I'd just be thinking all night long, nah, you know, you got other things to do. You got to get up in the morning. You got to do this. You got to do this. And that went on because every Saturday night I would have these thoughts. Well, you're not a good person. Why would they want you there? And I'd go to bed at night thinking, okay, I'm not going to go. I realized it wasn't God. It was, you know, realizing that my self-esteem because of Satan constantly telling me, you're a bad person. You don't belong here. You don't need to be in a place where people are going to love you. You need to do this by yourself. And so when I'd go to bed at night, all night long, I'd be awake. And finally it hit me, and I started saying at night, God is in charge of my life. Yeah. Satan knows how to get to me, and it's through my self-esteem. And once I realized that, I started going to sleep at night, and I'd go, God, I'm going to church in the morning. I promise you this. And all night long, I'd be awake. About 4 a.m., I said, God, you got to stop whatever this is. I don't know why this is happening. And all of a sudden, I laid down, and I had this deep sleep for about 4 hours. God's with me. God's leading me. When I go to sleep at night, I go, God, you're in charge. This is my life, and you're in control of it. And you're going to lead me to do the right thing. You are in charge of me. Get me up in the morning. Once I say that, I go to sleep, and I wake up, and I'm refreshed. I'm not tired, but I know that God's constantly saying, I'm here, and I need this church, and that's what God has given me. And now, when I go to sleep at night, I'm like, okay, I'm going to go to church on Sunday morning. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Yep, the devil sure is a liar, and he will play on your weaknesses, and he overplays his hand all the time. No, it's good. You know what? It's a good thing to talk about these things because this is real life. And if we walk in grace, then it's a little bit different. I think most of us are so sensitive and so ready to be rejected a lot of times that we take somebody not looking at us or talking to us as, oh, they didn't like us or something. Not thinking that, oh, they've got a thousand things going on in their head, or they're sick, or they're taking care of something else. And I think if we can actually give grace in those areas, it's going to be a lot easier for us. Amen? So I wanted to close with a hymn. This is one of my favorite hymns, but it talks about Ebenezer. Would you guys stand? Do you guys know this? Anybody not know this song? Oh, most of you know it. And I love hymns for two reasons. Do you know the worship songs that we do? I love the worship songs, of course, the most, because it speaks to me and I'm a worshiper. Hymns were really made to teach doctrine. It wasn't really made to raise hands or flags and all that. I mean, it wasn't. It was really made to teach doctrine because people could learn the doctrine through the hymns. So that's really why a lot of times it's just filled with truth. But what happens a lot of times is we're taught with a hymnal, you're not looking anywhere, you're following the notes, you're not really even looking at what the words are saying, you're not free to raise your hands. So hymns can be different for us. As soon as I put a hymn on the wall, some people are like, oh, I don't like hymns because I came from that dead stuff. But this is not dead. This is going to be good. One of my teachers, every day before class, put a hymn on a wall. And that first week, I was like, oh, I hate going to class, because I was in that Baptist church where we sing out of the, I called it, you know, the first funeral church of Araby. And it was so boring. But something happened in this class because I actually started enjoying these. Let's start. Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some new melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Oh, to grace how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. And let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Here I raise my Ebenezer. Here by thy great help I come. And I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. So, Father, we thank you for the Ebenezers in our life. We thank you for the Ebenezers in the future and the past. We thank you that we can look back and say, I know you were there with me in that time, and I know you'll be walking with me through the fire in the future. So, God, as we dismiss and as we just fellowship and eat, we ask you to bless the food, bless the fellowship, and we give you a huge praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.